From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's that time of year for California's government. It is budget season. January is when the governor lays out his budget proposal, and state lawmakers get a ballpark idea of the funding that they have to work with. Over the coming months, the governor and legislatures, they'll negotiate before the June deadline to finalize a budget. Last year, the state was in the red and had to close a shortfall in the tens of billions of dollars, which meant tapping into reserves, aka the rainy day fund, as well as making cuts and delays to some programs. But this year, Governor Newsom is painting a rosier picture, saying the upcoming 2025-2026 budget will be roughly balanced and perhaps even have a small surplus. As I mentioned, this is only the first step of the process, but an important one nonetheless. In a moment, we'll be joined by the nonpartisan California Budget and Policy Center. But first, H.D. Palmer is a spokesperson for the Department of Finance, which prepares the state budget, and joins us with a deeper look at the governor's priorities. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's have a quick recap of the size of this proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year. How does it compare to last year?
Well, if you look at all of the funds for the budget, it's over $300 billion. So it's substantial, as befits a state that is this large and has this many investments in it. You're absolutely right at the top. We are in a much better situation than we were 12 months ago when we were staring down, you know, tens of billions of dollars in terms of a budget deficit. The governor back in May, when he revised last year's budget, said, let's not just solve for this coming year's problem. Let's take steps so we can mitigate what's going on a year after that. And so the legislature, for the first time in a long time, basically passed 2 years' worth of budget solutions, which is the reason that we don't face a big shortfall this year as we did last year, because the legislature agreed with the governor and said, let's take proactive steps to be able to have difficult decisions, but they're going to make things a lot easier or less painful or less difficult next year. And we've seen that happen. And the nonpartisan legislative analyst office came out earlier today with their overview of the budget. And there's not a lot of daylight between us. Their conclusions are that the budget, in their view, is roughly balanced, that the revenue estimates are reasonable, that the use of reserves that are in this budget remain prudent, and that the proposals that the governor has made in this budget to enhance the reserve so we can take away some of the impediments that actually will let us put away more money are warranted. So we're pleased with the early reaction to the budget. Now, obviously, the overhang is the fires, and that is something that we budget for on an annual basis. We can get into that in just a second, but we are continuing and have been over the weekend doing further reviews on the budget, working closely with the governor, and we will see how that develops in the coming days. But certainly there will be no expense that will be spared to help Californians in Southern California, whether it's Pacific Palisades, whether it's Altadena or other areas, recover as quickly as possible. As the fires pertain to the state budget, one of the things that is hugely significant and hugely beneficial is what President Biden announced last week. Normally, when you have a federal disaster declaration, there is a 75-25 split, as they call it, so that the cost, the federal government bears 75 cents out of every dollar worth of expenses, the state pays 25 cents. Multiply that by billions and it's huge. Governor Newsom sought to have a higher sharing ratio. 90%, President Biden responded to him. He said, I'll see you and raise you. The federal government is going to pay full freight of the costs of recovery for the next 6 months.
Okay, so there's a lot of threads here that I'm going to pull on. I mean, first I want to start with the budget being at around $320 billion. So last fiscal year, it was under $300 billion, $297. What accounts for the state having $16 billion more than last year?
Well, the $16 billion is an increase in revenues over 3 years, and that's a few things. One is the markets really came back. One of the things that our revenue system in California really depends upon is how well that the stock market does, because that affects a lot of the high income taxpayers who pay the lion's share of personal income tax. The markets did a lot better, so those individuals did better in terms of capital gains and stock options. Our cash receipts for the last 6 months of 2024 came in a lot stronger than we expected, about $5 billion. And the overall economy has improved. Interest rates came down. The Fed, as expected, brought those interest rates down, and that's helped us in terms of getting the economy back on a positive long-term trend. But we do know that those things are all, at the same time that they've been beneficial over the last year, they're also a risk to the economy. The markets can turn on a dime, as we know, depending upon what some of the policies of the new administration in Washington are going to be. For example, in tariffs, depending upon how broadly based they are, a lot of economists are afraid that that might cause the Fed to stop their reductions in interest rates, and we hope not go in the other direction and raise them.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fires are an uncertainty. Overseas are uncertainty. So we recognize we don't forecast a recession, but we recognize though we are in balance this year, there are a lot of threats that are still out there that caution us as we go forward.
But if the forecast in revenues is more than last year, $16 billion, mm-hmm. why do you still need to pull from the rainy day fund?
Well, that was part of the agreement that the legislature had entered into. Last year, I mentioned that the legislature saw for 2 years instead of one, and part of that was drawing down from the budget stabilization account so that we didn't have to make deep reductions in programs such as education or health and human services. That's still the case today, but that wasn't a one-time spike of $16.5 billion in 1 year. So we still have costs that are increasing in the healthcare area, particularly in Medi-Cal, the state's version of Medicaid, which now provides health care to one out of every three Californians. So there are still cost pressures that we recognize. But at the same time, the governor in his budget is making it clear that we don't have a lot of room for massive new ongoing investments. There is some one-time spending that's in there. And the legislative analyst in their analysis today indicated that that's relatively minor, I think it would be fair to say.
When it comes to how California has the money to work with, it's overwhelmingly supplied by the highest earners in the state. That's why we have so much volatility when it comes from one state budget to mm-hmm. the next, from one fiscal year to the next. The wildfires are going to impact this because tax filings will once again be delayed for the many people in Southern California across the Los Angeles area that are being impacted by these wildfires. This complicates projections. You have this in your hindsight already from prior wildfires. What are the learning lessons from this?
The learning lessons are that we need to be prepared for the unexpected. And that's what happened after we locked the budget down, the fires happened. One of the things is we still have significant amounts of reserves, even after the withdrawal that you mentioned a moment ago. We still have $17 billion in total reserves that are available, about $11 billion in the rainy day fund, another $4.5 billion in the discretionary reserve. The governor took the $3.5 billion, it was last year's level, and said, even before the fires, we need to be prudent and sock away another $1 billion. And then there's another reserve of about $1.5 billion for schools. So we do have those reserves there that are available, and that's a cushion, that is a cushion against the kinds of uncertainties that we're obviously seeing right now.
Another uncertainty, and you touched upon this, a change in administration. I know that this isn't new for you. I mean, you've worked for governors here in California going back to Governor Wilson in the late 90s, so across party lines. But President Biden, as you mentioned, said that the federal government would cover the full cost of recovery for wildfires for 6 months. But could that be potentially reversed under President-elect Donald Trump?
We certainly hope and don't believe that it will. I think if you look at the devastation that has occurred in the last week and you look at how many people, thousands of people whose lives and livelihoods have been destroyed by this, and the immediate imperative to begin cleanup so that we can begin to recover and rebuild, I think it would be difficult for any administration to turn their back on this. We've already seen bipartisan cooperation with states, regardless of whether they're Democratic or Republican governors. Governor Abbott of Texas just recently sent a substantial number of firefighting resources to California. So from the governor's standpoint, this isn't a partisan issue. And we certainly hope and expect that with this important commitment that President Biden has, that that will continue by the new administration.
Republicans at the state capitol, they criticized the budget proposal. They said that only Governor Gavin Newsom could raid over $7 billion from our rainy day savings and have the audacity to call it a surplus, or at least breaking even roughly. And that was from Senate Minority Leader Brian Jones. He's a Republican from San Diego. So why not draw down less? I know you said there's a little bit of daylight between you and the LAO's office, but they're still estimating a $2 billion deficit, whereas Governor Newsom had said last week there may be a small surplus in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. We have a different revenue forecast that the legislative analyst has. They recognize that, but they said in their analysis today that they believe our forecast generally is reasonable. Again, the legislature voted on a two-year plan to be able to bridge the shortfall and spread it out over 2 years, as opposed to having those deeper cuts this year in education and health and human services. And again, even under this plan where we do have that second year of withdrawals out of the budget stabilization account or the rainy day fund, we still have $11 billion left in that account next year on top of the $4.5 billion discretionary reserve that the governor put away in terms of his budget. So we've been able to do that in a responsible manner and still provide substantial reserves for the uncertainties that are still out there.
Newsom is also proposing to create a new state agency during this fiscal climate, you know, the California Housing and Homelessness Agency. Why is it necessary to create a whole new part of state government, and where will this funding come from?
Right. Well, one of the things to remember is that it's not necessarily creating from the ground up scratch, new agency, new mission, a whole bunch of new state workers. What we're talking about here is looking at ways that we may be able to take the different areas of housing and homelessness that are in different or disparate parts of state government right now and combine them and consolidate them into a new entity that is more focused and more targeted on dealing with these issues of housing and homelessness that are interconnected. So it's not necessarily going to be a brand new building with thousands of more workers. It's going to be something where as we go through the reorganization process, which is going to be open and transparent, that we're looking to try to consolidate this and focus these efforts on a problem that we still have to deal with.
Finally, this is the first step in a months-long process until you get a final budget. So what it looks like today, the proposal from the governor is going to look very different come June. What else do you have down the pipeline?
Well, you're absolutely right, Vicki. What I can tell you with metaphysical, ontological certitude today is that all these numbers are going to change in 3 months. And that's because the economy is going to change, the revenues are going to change, the situations with the wildfires are going to change. We're going to know more about what the incoming administration in Washington's plans are, how that might affect us in terms of the overall economy of the state with tariffs, with immigration policy. It's going to evolve. It's going to change. And that's exactly why we revise our budget in mid-May, because things don't stay static for 4 months. Just remember a couple of years ago at the beginning before COVID hit, we were looking at a $4.5 billion surplus in January. Couple of weeks later, the pandemic hit, and we were upside down in May by $50 billion. And that's a swing of $60 billion over the span of about 20 weeks. So stuff changes really fast, and we need to be able to accommodate that. And that's why we revise our budget in May.
H.D. Palmer is a spokesperson for California's Department of Finance. H.D., as always, thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about the 2025-2026 state budget, which Governor Newsom's administration released last week. Now, we're going to be joined by Chris Haney, the executive director of the nonpartisan California Budget and Policy Center. Welcome.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So what does this budget proposal say about the governor's priorities from your perspective at the California Budget and Policy Center?
Well, as HD said, a lot of this is about the agreement that the governor and the legislature struck that's created this year's budget and that had the intention of spreading out some of the decisions they were making over a couple of years. One of those decisions was, or a set of those decisions was, to protect a lot of the earlier advances and investments that they'd made before they ran into a budget deficit. And they did that well, and the governor's budget carries that same set of policies that were agreed to for this year's budget into his proposal for next year, and that's a good thing. At the same time, there isn't really a lot of new investment. As HD said, they're being very cautious about making any new investments. And one of the things we would critique them for is for not doing more to address economic security, affordability, and the fact that there are millions of Californians still struggling to make ends meet in our very high cost of living state. One of the reasons they're not doing that is they're not willing to address the tax and revenue side of the budget. They're only doing things on the spending side and drawing down reserves.
Given that there's going to be a lot of negotiations taking place between now and June when that budget is finalized, what changes would you like to see when it comes to addressing these gaps for some of the lowest income Californians?
Well, one of the things we know that President-elect Trump and Republicans in Congress are likely to do is to extend and expand the tax cuts that were put in place at the federal level back in 2017. And in order to pay for those tax cuts, which disproportionately benefited high wealth households and corporations, and will so again, they are likely to then try and cut domestic programs that provide healthcare, food assistance, educational systems, largely that benefit low and middle income households. And we think that Governor Newsom and state leaders have a responsibility to actually claw back some of those tax breaks and raise taxes on those same households, those same corporations, in order to pick up the tab for having to cover the costs to make sure people don't lose their healthcare, they don't lose their food assistance, and we can maintain the state's education systems.
Last week's budget presentation, it did mention several risks from the federal level, from possible impacts of tariffs. You touched upon this, inflation, changes to immigration policy. You know, what steps can state government take to prepare for or just even anticipate uncertainty from the federal government as one administration changes to the next?
Well, a good start is an agreement they've reached just in the last 24 hours. In December, there was a special legislative session and they authorized $25 million in additional spending to legally protect California from certain types of federal threats. State legislative leaders had proposed some additional funding and they've reached an agreement to raise that amount to $50 million. So that's a good start. At the same time, the scale of the potential federal threats could blow a hole in the state budget at a much larger level, particularly if there are cuts to the federal Medicaid system, which would result in a pretty large hole in the state budget. So state leaders are going to have to look at the tax side of things, we think, if they want to continue to make sure people have health care, and the state budget then can continue to pay for that and be balanced.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Haney is the executive director of the nonpartisan California Budget and Policy Center. We've been talking about the proposed 2025-2026 state budget, which was released last week. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.